ministering to us this morning. Father, we come before you, we fear you, Lord. No man but you, Father. And we know that your word is incorruptible, Father. Your word is good, your word is healthy. Your word builds. Yes, your word encourages us. And we bless it, Father. Father, we come before you this morning with open hearts, ready to receive you, what you have for us, the food that we need this morning, for the week, for our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to try to get us out of here in 30 minutes, but I know usually Holy Spirit does his thing. And if I do extend, please have patience. Have patience. Hold in. Hold on. We're almost there. So we're going to have some scriptures today, not too many, but just a few scriptures. I'd like you to take notes of these scriptures. These are good scriptures, family. They really are for us to meditate on throughout the week. And I believe that the Lord has really given us this message this morning for a season, especially as we are about to end the year. You know, this is the time when we reflect a lot about our year, our successes, our failures. And sometimes the failures, you know, are more than what God has done for our lives. But actually, it's the other way around. Because if we're still here, God has done so much. Amen. So today's word is, title is, God's Word Builds Our Lives. God's Word Builds Our Lives. Family, our lives are usually shaped by three things, usually. And I think this is a pattern for today's word. They're usually shaped by three areas in our lives. And these areas we usually have control over. I'll thank the Lord for free will. Amen. And these areas are the quality of our thought life. Amen. This is what we allow into our thought. This is how we allow things to, you know, to come in. You know, sometimes we think that we can think. And we usually think that it's actually two-sided. It's what the Lord places or what the enemy places. Amen. So our lives are shaped by our thought pattern. Everything we see first starts off with a thought. You think about it first before you actually see it. Remember what Job said in the book of Job. He said, "Oh Lord, what I've been dreading all my life has finally come." Because it was constantly, he was thinking about it. So it came as a thought. The second area is that the quality of our words. The quality of our words shape our lives, family. What we speak out of our mouths with conviction comes to pass. We cannot bring anything to pass outside of speaking it to life. So the quality of words are quite key. As we keep talking, and when you talk to people, you're constantly creating. We just don't know this. Paul says that it's better to be a man of few words than to be a man of many words. Yeah? And I think there's wisdom behind that, because there he gives us a depiction that we need to be careful on what we say. We've got to think before we speak. Amen. And the third part is the quality of our faith. Quality of our faith. Without faith, we can't move any mountain. Right? Our thoughts, our words need faith. For it to move, we need faith. So these are the three areas that I'd like us to focus on today. There's a passage that says, "Show me a successful person, and I will show you what their minds and what their words look like." We see this in the book of Joshua 1:8. You know that scripture that says, "Meditate on the word night and day, so that you may be successful." So success comes from being the quality of our thoughts, the quality of our words, and the quality of our faith. And these areas, we realize that we need to guard our minds, and we need to guard our ears, and we need to guard our heart. These are key areas, family. So the sermon that the Lord preached to me years ago when I got saved was Jeremiah 1:5. I don't know if you got saved, if the Lord preached anything to you. But I know for certain that when we get saved, it's usually the word that was sent first. You receive the word and something transformed and transpired in you. And so Jeremiah 1:5 reads, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Amen. Before I formed you, I knew you. You know, at times, family, we tend to go into this world and we have identity based on our family. You know, I come from the Smith family. You know, I come from the Mojaki family. You know, but here the Lord gives us something interesting. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So that means we come from somewhere. We don't come from our families. We don't come from our history, our heritage. Whether we come from a family where, you know, it's a family of diabetes. Have you seen that? Where you see generations from generations to generations. There's always someone with who's diabetic. Generations to generations, there's someone who never gets married, or they always get divorced, or they always lose children, or there's always something, or there's a mental challenge or mental health challenge. We see all of this, but here the Lord gives us something interesting. He says, no, we are not of our family, because he says when he knew us, that means he sent us. We have no identity of our family. Amen. I'll continue. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before the Lord knew you, he sent you and he set you apart. He brought you to him. You are his. You are not anyone else's. You are his. You are not anyone else's. And then the last part says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And here we hear that the Lord says, when he brings us here, he's already giving us a call. A call of our lives. You could be a teacher, could be a prophet, an apostle, whatever the call of your life is. For the nations, the Lord says, I've appointed you. And I believe when I received this sermon years ago when I got saved, it was the Lord reminding me of three areas. And I want to share these three areas with you, family, this morning. Who created you? What he created you for? Who do you belong to? And who holds your future and who holds your destiny? No one else. No one else. Would you agree with me, family, that many believers today, I include myself in this, that we are living below our potential, according to the word of God. If I look at Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did in the New Testament, I say, no ways, I'm not living up to this standard. Family, we face many attacks. Every day, many attacks. Enemy is constantly trying to place a number on our lives. He's always trying to put a label on you. Constantly. He leads us into situations where we find ourselves in shame. We find ourselves in condemnation. You know? Have you been there? Where you go through situations and then all of a sudden there's a label that he puts on you. Shameful. Disappointed. Then there's guilt. Sometimes when we're sick, he places that label on us. And he says, this sickness won't leave. You're sick. You have a chronic sickness. Hopelessness. Unworthiness. He's constantly trying to label us, family, so that our identity can be his identity and not what our identity truly is. So I remember about 5 years ago, if not four, I got attacked. You know, I don't know if anybody has been attacked by the enemy. Wow. There's no one here has been. Okay. There we go. Yeah, it's not a nice time, eh? I remember I got attacked all of a sudden. It happened in an instant. And all of a sudden, I felt this fatigue this excruciating fatigue that I've never felt in my life before. It just came from nowhere. And man, was I worried. I went everywhere for answers. Everywhere. I went to family members. I went to friends. I went everywhere looking. I even went to the internet. You know, Google? Yeah, we sometimes go there and we want to check what's really happening. I went anywhere. In fact, the more I went to places, the more I felt hopeless because I got no answers. The more I felt depressed because I didn't get what I needed. The more I felt confused. The more I felt distressed. The more I felt fearful. The more I got into these places. You know, when your back is against the wall and you're vulnerable, it's like the enemy knows in that time that this is the time I must come talk to this one. Okay? Not in any other time. Not when you're busy with a lot of things. When you have your back is against the wall, when all the wheels are falling off, when you're vulnerable and in that state, he then comes. He knows that's the opportunity. And sometimes he sends men to come and diagnose your condition. Because you've been looking for this answer everywhere. You've been searching places, going up and down. Then he sends men to just say something. Now I remember this thing. You know, my father's father had this thing. And all of a sudden, what happens to you? This small marble starts getting big and big because you're getting answers no way. And all of a sudden, you think this is who you are. This could be it. So I went to the doctors and I went to go check my blood. After I went everywhere, I said, you know what, finally, you know, this is D-Day, let me go see a doctor. And the doctor checked my blood, couldn't find anything. You know, doctors, sometimes they hold their cards close to their chest. You know, they don't dish out things quickly. They just check this and they check that and they're checking everything just to make sure what it is. And I remember the doctor said, maybe you have a heart challenge or chest problem, and that's why you are fatigued. And then here's the question. Is there anyone in your family that has a heart condition? And I thought, oh my goodness, there it is. So I have a heart challenge when I'm so young. Oh my word. And she prescribed some pills for me, you know, a few pills for the interim. You know, you never get the solution now. You have to go to a specialist, so you have to wait and sit and meditate on this for another, I don't know how long. You know, specialists can be 3 months, 2 months, I don't know how long. But I remember this one because it was a heart thing. It was in 6 months' time, if I'm not mistaken, Okella. Yeah, so gave me these pills, and essentially, when I went back home, I said to my wife, Okella, you know, this is the problem, this is what's happening, this is what the doctor says, and Okella kept quiet. Then I knew, oh my word, this is it. You know when your wife is quiet, then you know. She's probably picked it up somewhere and somehow she just hasn't said it. And so as I sat watching television at home, it's as if I heard the Lord preaching to me again. Jeremiah 1:5. Reminding me again. Who do I say you are? Who brought you here? What are you called for? And these are the three things, family, that he mentioned to me. So I had a choice in that moment as I was sitting there. And that choice was to accept the label that the enemy placed on my life as an attack. It was probably never, it's never the truth, by the way. But in that moment, everything feels real. All of a sudden, it feels real. And it was either I accepted that label as my truth, or I challenged the enemy and reminded him of Jeremiah 1:5, that I'm not yours. I'm not going to accept this label. Proverbs 18:21, can we get into the word? It reads, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We know this scripture, right? But I want us to look at this part. And they who indulge, yeah? We know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. But listen to this. They who indulge in it shall eat of it, shall eat the truth, shall eat the fruit of it. Family, we have an incredible will to indulge in either life or death. It's our choice. It's not only about what is spoken. It's also about what we listen to. If we indulge in what is being spoken to in our lives, and we indulge in it, and we eat it, and we internalize it, we become of it. We wouldn't know what the truth is, family, unless we read the Word of God. We'd be lost. We would know identity because you don't know your truth. And I was there. When I was looking for these answers, going left and right, was a depiction that I didn't know my identity. And God was kept on reminding me of Jeremiah 1:5, bringing me back to Him. Family, God has a dream for us. He has a dream for you and me. And that dream is His identity. No one else's. No one else's. Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words you will be justified and acquitted. And by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Amen. Have you ever noticed how careful the kingship monasteries are with their words? Have you ever realized how careful they are when they have to speak to the public? The queen, the king, they don't just speak. Even presidents, there's usually a speech written for them. They have to go through it. They have to practice it day before, and they have to find ways of validating what they're saying. No one just speaks in that position. And God calls us that and says to us, we are kings. And therefore, this makes us realize that we can't just speak as kings. We have to come back to the Word of God and know what the truth is. God is careful, family, with you and me. He's even careful about how He speaks about you. Look at the Word of God. He's very careful. He doesn't just talk God. He doesn't just blah and speaks nonsense. Every word is just so prophetic and articulate and amazing. When you look at the Old Testament, it speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ. So careful. On the point, everything that He says is spot on. So this reminds us that we also need to be careful, family, about how we use our words. We ought to be careful in how we use our words. We either speak the Word of God, or we'll use these very same tongues to rewrite destinies that are not ours. Because the tongue can rewrite a destiny that is not yours. Because the enemy can use your tongue to rewrite a destiny. When you're going this way, he can rewrite it and say, I'm rooting you this way to the lie. So that you don't reach what Jeremiah 1:5 says. That you are the prophet of the nation or whatever your call is in your life. So the enemy is against these destinations. And he comes and he speaks lies. So family, keep this in mind when we speak. When you speak, when I speak, these are the things that we have to keep in mind. That the tongue is a pen of the destination of your life. The tongue is a pen of the destination of your life. Your tongue is a pen of the destination of someone else's life. We can curse with our mouths. So God calls us to speak the word of God into each other's lives so that we can write the destiny that it goes to completion. Amen. Your tongue is also a destination of your finances. Have we ever thought about that? Our tongues is also a destination of our finances. It's also a destination of someone else's finances. We can either speak those finances to death, or we can speak them to life. Amen. So here's a question for us today. I'd like us to pound on this question. Is your tongue subjected to God's dream for your life? Is your tongue subjected to the word of God? Or do we just speak because we have to communicate? You know, when music was created for worship. It wasn't created to worship other things. It was created to worship God. Words were created to worship God. They were not created to worship man, to worship the enemy, and to worship his works. So this is how powerful our tongues are in building a life that God has for us. God calls us to humble ourselves to the word of God and to speak his will always. This is why he always says humble, humble yourself, meaning subject yourself to the word of God. Even when you speak, subject yourself to the word of God, because it's God's word that shapes lives, family. Not your word, not anyone's word, but it's God's word that shapes their lives. So I'm going to continue the story about this condition that I had, that I was going through. I really, my back was really against the wall. I was feeling very despondent and vulnerable. And I felt at some point very entangled. You know when you're entangled and you just find yourself, it's like you're on a spider web. And you just can't find a way to loosen yourself. I just held there and you feel fatigued, you feel tired, you feel more tired. I want to tell you, family, that that situation is very temporary. It's not forever. It's just temporary. It's like an illusion. It's just temporary. It feels real. It feels real because it's like you're having a real life experience, you know, but it's temporary. When I was faced with this health challenge, because I was vulnerable, I was prone to accept whatever the doctors were to say over my life. You know why, family? Because I needed an answer. I don't know if there's anyone who needs an answer here. And I don't know, maybe you guys are super spiritual, but you know when you need an answer, ne? You'll do anything. You'll do anything. Have you ever had a challenge that went on for so long? For so long. And in that moment, all you needed was an answer. Maybe it was your child who's taking drugs. But you can't see it. But things are missing at home. And all you want is just to sit down with this child and say, just give me the truth. Are you using or are you not? But you can't really get into it, right? It's tough. It's long. It's draining. You need an answer. You need some comfort. That was me. I was desperate, family, for an answer and desperate to find healing in that moment and ready to accept whatever, whoever had to say anything, I'd say finally. You know why? Because it took a long time. That tiredness was long, right? And I was just like, God, you really have to come. I don't know where this comes from. And you know what the doctor said to me? I laugh at this moment every time. He says to me, the lady says, after saying, I think you may have a heart condition. You know what I said? I said, shoo, thank God. And she was surprised. She was like, huh? Do you know what you're saying? I said, yeah, I know. I know very well what I'm saying. Thank God. Because I just needed something. Right? You know, sometimes when things happen in the past and you're sitting in the bed and you're starting to figure out what happened, but you have no answer for that. It bugs you. Now imagine with your health, something you feel every day, and you go everywhere and there's nothing. All the doctors can't find anything. And here's this one doctor, and he says, heart. You say, thank you. Now at least I know what I am facing. Okay, what's next? Have you been through that, family? I've been through a lot of times, a lot of times. You see, in the book of Numbers 12, you know the story of Moses who sends the spies? He sends the 12 and the two. I love the two, but we're not going to talk about the two because the two is us, right? Amen. Yes, it is us. But I want to talk about the 10, you know, because at times we are the 10. The two said, yes, we can. The 10 came back and they said, we can't. We can't take the land of Canaan. But I want you to listen to these words of the 10 spies, because there's wisdom here, family, and I want us to look into this wisdom. This is Numbers 13:33. So at home you can read 12, but today I want to focus on 13:33. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. They came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. In our own eyes, we seemed like grasshoppers. And we looked the same to them. What an assumption, eh? It was an assumption. How do they know? How do they know that they looked like grasshoppers to someone else? How do I know that, watch Julie, how you look at me? How do I know? Such an assumption, right? But there's something we see here, family, is that the 10 spies had a bad image of themselves. They had the wrong identity of themselves. Their identity was found in defeat. Their identity was found in lack. Their identity was found in fear. Their identity was found in insecurities. Their identity was found in brokenness. And that is not God. That is not God at all. God grants manna, which is food for today, right? But God, at the same time, calls us for the land of milk and honey. Yeah? So the manna is what we have today to eat, water, lights, and all of that. But God calls us for another destination, the land of milk and honey. And family, to reach this land, it requires you and me to have a firm grip on our identity. We will never reach that place if you don't know who you are. You will be thrown aside. And so God gives us this depiction here. Why would I have accepted what the enemy was labeling me as when I went to the doctor? Here I am today. I don't have a heart problem, by the way. Praise the Lord. But I almost took that label and went on chronic medications. And you know, there's a lot of people who are diagnosed incorrectly because they don't have their identity found in the Lord. Because God can tell you what's happening. And so, here I was, almost, the enemy almost had me. Yo, he almost had me there. And I praise the Lord for reminding me of Jeremiah 1:5. Family, some of us have accepted these labels. Let's be honest. We've accepted the labels that the enemy has placed over our lives. And some of us are currently living these labels. I know there are some labels in my life that I'm currently living. And I keep going to God, keep coming to the Word of God to raise these levels, because these are not my truths at all. The curses that men have spoken of our lives from previous generations, something that we need to really realize, family. I'm here to tell you that all of that is a lie. It's a lie. God never created you and I with faults. He never created you and I with failures. He never created you and I to be inferior. He never created you and I to have fear and anxiety. That's not his portion. That's not who he says he is. He created you and I in his image and in his likeness. That means he created us in the identity of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And there's nothing else that we should look at outside of this identity. Nothing else. No matter what man says to you, no matter what the doctors say to you, no matter what the witches say to you, whoever is speaking, if it's not found in the word, it's not true. It's not true. Say this with me. I have equally inherited all that Christ has inherited for me. Amen. So, Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. Beautiful one. God reminds us here again that he made us in his image. I won't read all of it, but there's a few areas I'd like to highlight from it. He says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle. Meaning, let them have dominion in the sea, in the air, and on the earth. Amen. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female, and he created them. Praise God. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the sea, the earth, and the sky. Praise the Lord. And here God gives us an imprint of who we are. What does, key words here in the scripture, subdue and dominion mean? According to the word of God, subdue means God calls us to conquer. This is what he says when he says, in my likeness and in my image, we are called to conquer. We are called to overcome. We are called to master every situation you're facing. Master it. You're called to take it in the name of Jesus. You're called to bring it to subjection in the name of Jesus. You're called to rule. This is our image in Christ, partially. I'm talking about labels. I want to deal with this label that the enemy places on us. He calls us for these areas. Amen. Family, the enemy may be bringing fear that you're going to die alone. He may be whispering that sickness in your ear that he's going to kill you. It may be about retirement. You're worried about it. Am I going to be on the streets? What's going to happen to me? Whatever it is, the enemy is placing an identity that is not yours. I want you to remember this. It is not your identity. He needs you to have faith in what he says so that you can accept that label. And once you accept that label, the power of words is that you will live it out. If you accept homelessness, you will live it out. If you accept depression, you will live it out. If you accept heart problem, you will live it out. It will come to pass. So we have to realize what our identity is found on. It's found on the word of God. Amen. Again, family, I'm here to say that all of these tactics of the enemy that he speaks and labels us are all lies. Accept that. It's a lie. It clearly states it in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. He calls us conquerors. He says we are masters of our situations. He calls us tamers. He calls us overcomers. That is our identity. That's how God programmed us. Jeremiah 1:5. That's how God programmed us. He didn't program us with faults. He programmed us in his image, in who he is. God is not a God of fault. He's not a God of sickness. Do you think God can live with sickness? It's not him. It's not his nature. God is not a God of poverty. It's not in his nature. God is not a God of homelessness. It's not in his nature. All of these things that we face, it's not him. We have to look at God and say, God, would God be a God that carries sickness with him? No, it's not. That's not my identity. I don't care what you say, doctor, but that is not my identity. My identity is found in the word of God. There may be pain here and there, but my identity is found in the Lord. Amen. And it's a fight, family. God created you in his image and in his likeness. So as I end off, I'd like to pose a question. Do you want to know how to take on this image of God? Because we struggle with it, family. Let's be for real. Let's be truthful. We struggle with it. But I have a scripture here. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. The Lord is ministering to her. Can we just all pray? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Reba salabande. Thank you for deliverance. Reka talanda. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for touching. Thank you, Father. Thank you for releasing her. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Batarabonde rebo kondorosha. Reka talabande rebosa. Reba babande rebo koro sandarisha. Neba talababande rebo kondorosa. Neba talababande rebo siya kandaria sholo bonde. Lebande rebosha. She's just fallen from the anointing. To get back to, do you want to know how to take on this image of God? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Please write this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Amen. Let's focus, family. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Amen. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Family, what this word basically says to us is that as we look into the Word of God, the Lord is here. As we look into the Word of God, it is a mirror. It reflects who you are. The more you read the Word of God, the more the image of your heart slowly gets transformed. The more you read the Word of God, the more your mind gets transformed. It becomes a mirror. Family, this is how we find our identity. This is how we take on the image of God of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. God shapes our lives by the word he speaks. We are shaped by the word of God. It gives us our true identity. And today I'm here to speak to us, family. We can close it. But we can keep the mic on.